Marriages take work, you know that, but it's a work that's worthwhile, it really is, and fulfilling. When we keep in mind especially that the marriage we have is a covenant, it's a commitment to one another and a commitment to God, and it's a calling to be honoring Christ Jesus in all that we do together in our marriage. Trials come, tensions come, something is said, something is done that hurts, frustrations are there, but we need to learn to love, learn to live, and we also need to learn to let go. That last point that you have before you, the Lord will encourage us to let go. This is what I mean. Forgetting. It says there, and again, 1 Peter chapter 4, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. We all say things that we shouldn't say. And sometimes we don't say things that we should say. And that hurts too. Sometimes those irritations, whatever they may be in our personalities or what happens at the moment in the situation. But you know, those things happen because of who we are. We're sinners saved by grace. And there's some things in that covenant relationship in love, marriage, that love covers a multitude of sins. And what Peter's saying, you know, some of those irritations, some of those things that, you know, just come up, a word that is said or something. Do you love that partner so much? And you say, you know, I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm not even going to bring it up. Okay? Have you ever done that? I'm sure you have. Love covers a multitude of sins. Now, I'm not saying or excusing that if there's a pattern of intended hurt, or there's a pattern of intended manipulation, or there's a pattern of abuse, that needs to be confronted, not forgotten. So that offense, that transgression, that sin can be dealt with also biblically. Yes, there are certain things that love covers a multitude of sins. But there's other things that need to be confronted so the grace of forgiveness can prevail. Now, we had forgiveness just last week. And so, I know some of you were here and some of you weren't. And we won't really go into all those attributes of forgiveness, but we do have last week's study guide or study sheet on forgiveness in the bulletin on the tables back there. So that we're not really going too broadly or deeply in this subpoint here, but when you say letting go, do you remember Indiana Jones? How many of you watched Indiana Jones? Okay, good, you're with me. Remember that one, the quest? For the Grail.
The Last Crusade.
The Last Crusade, okay, yeah. If you're right with me, you know what I'm going to say. Yeah, that's a great one, yeah. And they were looking for the Grail. And the Grail was really the cup that Christ used at the communion, at the first communion there in the upper room. And if you remember that, they went into that temple area one night, they finally got the right one. And they were coming out with it, and of course it was dropped. And because they went beyond the seal, everything started falling apart, remember? And the great crack in the floor and the chasm. Do you remember? Say yes, please help me here. Okay, all right. And so, first of all, the gal, of course, she reaches in because the chalice, the grail, had fallen into that chasm on a bit of a ledge. And she reached in there and she fell into it, okay? Well, there's Indiana Jones with his dad and with other friends there and whatnot. He sees there, and so he goes down, he tries to reach in there, and he's almost falling down and whatnot, and he still is trying to reach for the grail. Do you remember that? And what did his dad say? Indiana, let it go. As he was holding his son's hand. You know, there are many things that happen in a Christian marriage that you and I have to know and realize, as the Lord is holding our hand in that covenant, there's some things that come up. And he's saying, just let it go, Bill. Just let it go. You want to make 51? Just let it go. By forgetting, love covers a multitude of sins. By forgiving, if it's a pattern that is oppressive, abusive, a pattern of manipulation, a pattern that just keeps coming up, that needs to be confronted with grace, the grace of forgiving. But then, if you will, take a look at that last one. Just letting go is also forsaking. I don't mean forsake your wife, or forsake your husband, or forsake the Lord. Take a look at that verse passage there. He answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother, and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, there's that covenant, joined together, let no man separate. Now, in the wedding, most traditional wedding vows, we promise on our wedding day before God and before all the chosen witnesses there to love, to honor, to cherish each other, forsaking all others, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do we part. Letting go and learning to let go is not only forgetting, love covers the multitude of sins, not only forgiving, but beloved, I want to put this as sensitive as I can. That forsaking is so important in letting go. So many marriages have been thrown and cast upon the rocks because either the husband or the wife has not forsaken others. That's a part of the letting go. Now, I believe that that forsaking and that part of the covenant we make is not just the fidelity of marriage against adultery. It is that. It is that. Understand? But there's so many other things, too, that couples bring into their marriage relationships that they need to forsake. And there's things, too, that come into the marriage relationship in the course of the journey of that marriage that they need to forsake. I've seen marriages go on the rocks for the sake of a career, and you probably have seen that, too. At the sake of a career, the marriage and the family broke up. There are choices that we make, beloved. And in letting things go, I've heard it before, maybe you have too. You know, if I only wasn't married, I could do this. Let it go. Let it go. You don't have that right now. And that's probably not in God's plan for you right now. Forsake that, because you're in a covenant relationship with that man, with that wife. You need to forsake those things that would come between the two of you. Letting go, yes, it means forgetting. Love covers the multitude of sins. It means forgiving. But it also means forsaking those things. Forsaking those things that would divide and break that marital union. It happens every day. It happens every day. It might not be a job. And it might not be adultery. It might be an emotional attachment to somebody at work. And all of a sudden, that person is coming into your marriage that you should forsake. Is that clear? Am I being too obtuse by trying to be sensitive? I know we have young people here. You know, to renew, to restore, to rebuild a marriage, it takes learning to love. And the Lord will enable us. Learning to live together, the Lord will empower us. Learning to let go, the Lord will encourage you. Would you pray this prayer that I have at the bottom of your sheet? Let's just bow our heads. I don't know where you are in the journey of your marital union, your relationship with your spouse. I don't have to know. The Lord knows, and that's enough. And you know. But would you pray this prayer? Lord Jesus, help us to love and to live with one another. I mean, that's your marriage. That's you and your spouse. In the way that you intended us to, in honoring the vows of our covenant with you, help us to let go of the stuff that we have let come between us. Today we renew our commitment to one another and to you. May you always be glorified in our lives, honored in our marriage, and reflected in our love. Amen.